It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a local group just celebrated a national award for innovative work healing abusive men and trying to break the cycle of violence. We'll talk to the founder of the Alma Center about her work.
First, as we head into a holiday weekend and the busiest travel time of the year, national security risks are topping headlines. It's time for a weekly look at the latest in national politics with 538 senior political writer and analyst Harry Enten.
President Obama addressed the nation this morning talking about the Islamic State group. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
Given the shocking images, I know that Americans have been asking each other whether it's safe here, whether it's safe to fly or gather. I know that families have discussed their fears about the threat of terrorism around the dinner table, many for the first time since September 11th. And it's understandable that people worry something similar could happen here. Watching the events in Paris made the threat feel closer to home. So as we go into Thanksgiving weekend, I want the American people to know is that we are taking every possible step to keep our homeland safe.
Harry Enten is with us now to tell us the latest about how the political climate has changed since the Paris attacks. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So let's start with the president's response to the Islamic State. So far, we heard some of those remarks from earlier today. What was the significance and the timing of this briefing?
I think just that people are very fearful. You know, if you look at the polling data, you see that terrorism is starting to top the list of the most important issues. You see that Americans are more fearful of a terrorist attack than they have been in a very, very long time. So it's the president's responsibility or job, or at least he feels so, that he should go out and basically comfort the American people and say, look, we don't have any intelligence that's saying that a specific attack is on its way, but you should be on the lookout, and we're doing everything to the best that we can to keep you guys safe, and you should go out with the comfort of knowing that we're doing so. So, I mean, this is what a president's supposed to do. It's his job, and he did so. But Americans are still on edge, and I don't think that the president's statement's going to take them off of edge, but still he has to go out and try his best to comfort them.
Right, you just used the word comfort three times. It's a tall order for even a president to do. So what form do you think the American people want that comfort to take to feel safe?
Sure. I mean, you know, there's obviously some people want us to go in and deal with ISIL or ISIS with troops on the ground. Most of the polling indicates that that's not what Americans want to happen. We're going to get into the refugees and how we're going to deal with Syrian refugees. The American people are very split on exactly what they want to happen. They just know that they are fearful of a terrorist attack, and the president's job in this, you know, at this point, he is basically the commander-in-chief, and he wants to be able to say, look, we're doing everything that we can. But beyond that, you know, I think the president said it best. You have to be on the lookout. People have to keep their eyes open. Small things can get in. So everybody in America has to do their job to try and prevent what could be a terrorist attack in the future.
And in the meantime, the Paris attacks have shaken up the priorities in the presidential race. What have you seen there?
Yeah, so, you know, if you just look at the polling, and it's not just one poll now. When we spoke last week, it was, you know, the first poll came out that said that terrorism had jumped the charts to be the number one issue in the Republican race. Now we have a few more polls that are showing that. So national security, who can best handle a terrorist attack, who can best keep us safe, is now starting to top the GOP list. And as that has happened, we have seen some interesting things occur, not the least of which is Ben Carson, who really, when he talks about foreign policy, most experts would say he doesn't really have a clear, good handle on it, has started to fall back in a number of the polls.
And with Ben Carson falling back, who's surging?
So we're really seeing Ted Cruz right now, at least in Iowa. There was a poll out yesterday, the Quinnipiac poll, that showed him now second place to Donald Trump in the state of Iowa. I think it was 25% to 23%, a very, very close race. And Ted Cruz is somebody who is a senator, who is a very smart guy, who's very hawkish on foreign policy. So we've seen a real turn, not just in who's in first, second, and third, but just in terms of the tone of the race, the tenor, and everybody right now on the Republican side is being very hawkish. I should also point out, though, on the Democratic side, the Iowa Quinnipiac poll that came out today showed that Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State, is best to handle foreign policy. So I think the turn in the Democratic race towards foreign policy is just yet another sign of Clinton's strength in that race.
We're talking to Harry Enten right now, senior political writer and analyst for 538. We're talking the latest in national politics. And the campaign of Jeb Bush has been one that's been in need of a little fresh energy, upward momentum from people who are looking for that from him. Is this what he needs? Is this the place for him to plant the flag and give some forward momentum?
Sure. I mean, this is one of the issues, foreign policy, where even the quote-unquote more moderate candidates like John Kasich, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, even when it comes to foreign policy, they tend to be just as hawkish as everybody else. It's a way to sort of bump up their conservative credentials, you might say. And so we see that Jeb Bush is arguing for a very forceful response. He wants the military involved in Syria, even more so than we are now. Right now, however, we don't see any polling that indicates that Bush is moving up in the polls. His favorable numbers are still as low as they've been throughout the entire campaign. And here's the other thing that should be spoken about. Yes, people like us, we're going to be talking about these events and talking about how they're affecting politics. But the polling indicates that even though people are concerned with terrorism, they're not necessarily listening to what the candidates are saying. They are more involved with planning their Thanksgiving dinner than they are listening to what Jeb Bush has to say. So even though Bush is putting these things out right now, we may not see the actual effect of those for at least a month or two until we get really, really close to Iowa.
Well, it's a long ways out till actual, voting day in November. If there are no new attacks, no new credible threats, things that come to the fore in the news in terms of strikes, terrorist strikes, is it possible that the awareness to ISIS could decline by then and that the economy could be the number one issue by the time we get to November?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look back during the 2007-2008 cycle, at this point, foreign policy topped the economy as the number one issue. And then when you jump forward to the general election, it was all about the economy. There is still a very, very long way to go until the actual voting takes place, at least in the general election. Obviously, the primaries are closer, but we're still 9 weeks from that. So a lot of things can change. So what is true right now in the race doesn't necessarily have to hold true in 9 weeks, let alone in a year when people are voting whether they want a Democratic or Republican to be their president.
And you mentioned Hillary Clinton as being seen as somewhat hawkish among Democrats. How does she stack up to, say, some of the top contenders on the Republican field?
I mean, the Republicans are pretty much always going to be more hawkish than the Democrats are. I mean, perhaps, Rand Paul might be an exception to that. But Clinton, more than just being more hawkish than, say, Bernie Sanders or Martin O'Malley, she also has foreign policy credentials. She served as the Secretary of State. She's somebody that's generally seen, if you look at the polling, who would be a better leader. She is the one who comes out on top of that on the Democratic side, versus a lot of these Republicans who are sort of, at the forefront now. If you look at Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, you're dealing with candidates who either A, have no elected office experience at all, or B, have very, very little. Ted Cruz was just elected in 2012, and Marco Rubio was just elected in 2010. So that could be a very interesting dynamic as we head into the general election, because usually foreign policy is a strength of the Republicans. But if people are looking for someone who has experience, it may in fact play into Clinton's hands.
If we look at President Obama, and we started off the hour with his briefing from earlier today, how is he standing up to all this? I mean, ISIS has been around during his tenure. They're still here. They're still causing havoc and violence and bloodshed in the world. Is that going to cast a poor light on Democrats?
Yeah, this is a very interesting thing. If you look at the polling, you see that Obama's approval on terrorism is dropping to its all-time lowest levels. And if you look at his overall approval rating, it does seem, although, it's very difficult to try and pick these stuff out, it does seem that it has dropped a little bit. And in this day and age where people are really voting along party lines instead of for individual candidates more so than ever, that could be potentially very harmful to Hillary Clinton. Although, again, we're still 12 months away from the general election, so we shouldn't say anything with too much certainty yet.
Now, there's been some news stories about that the tone of what's going on the ground at Donald Trump's appearances at his rallies, that there has been some altercations between protesters and supporters. What's going on there?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, the one instance, you know, I think there was an African-American gentleman who was an activist, and they basically, there was some very, very hands-on stuff where they were probably touched the guy too much in trying to get him out of the room, and then Trump made what I would call a typical Trump comment, saying, we're not going to deal with the protesters, he shouldn't be here, you know, get rid of him, and this is a type of thing that if you look at the polling, you know, this is a country that's becoming more and more diverse. And Republicans, if they're going to win, they're going to need to do one of two things. One, they're either going to need to win an even larger percentage of the white vote, or two, which is what most Republican operatives want to do, is win some minority voters. And if you just look at Trump's numbers among African Americans and Hispanics, they are lower than they are among any of the other GOP candidates. This type of rhetoric that Trump is issuing may be very nice to his supporters, and there's a reason why he's led this GOP race, granted with a limited sort of number, only in the mid-20s. But among the general elected at large and minorities who generally don't tend to vote Republican, his numbers are far worse than any of the other candidates, which could be very, very bad news going into the general election.
Right, and so could he get the nomination with numbers like that?
I mean, he's not going to win the nomination if he continues to lead the Republican field with numbers, you know, the national primary polls have him between 25 and 30%. What he needs to do is expand upon his base in order to win once this field gets, you know, instead of 13 or 14 candidates, you get down to 2, 3, 4, or 5 candidates. He is going to need to convince other Republicans that he can win in the general election. Remember, you go back to 2012. The number one reason that Romney won that nomination was because people thought he was the best to take on Barack Obama in the fall election. And comments that Trump is making right now, in my mind, as people really begin to tune in the presidential race, are going to make a lot of Republican voters very antsy about believing that he is the one that can best take on Hillary Clinton.
And we leave it there. Great to talk to you, Harry.
Thanks for having me again.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time to talk about the latest in national politics.